Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Tyson Burr is a minor league hockey player in Prince George, BC. He's a rookie at his first job, but it's already giving him a reputation as a destroyer, an enforcer who keeps the other team's players at bay. Violence on the ice is strongly encouraged, but when an overzealous fight sends a player to hospital, Tyson falls from hero to zero overnight. He's forced to move back home, work at manual labor, and try to pull what's left of his life back together in a rise, fall, and rise again story of a hockey destroyer. Hello, Destroyer is a first feature which premiered at TIFF and was chosen as one of Canada's top 10 films of the year. It's a thoughtful and impressionistic examination of violence and self-worth in a distinctly Canadian setting. The film is written and directed by prize winner Kevin Funk and opens today in Toronto. And I'm very pleased to have Kevin here with me in studio at CIUT to tell us more about Hello, Destroyer. And hello, Kevin.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks so much for coming in. So first, let's talk about violence in hockey. Hockey is a sport that glorifies violence. It's considered part of the entertainment.
Yeah.
So talk about the role of violence.
Yeah.
Hockey violence in the movie.
It's something that I think that I have, especially in the context of this film, still complicated feelings on. I grew up playing a lot of sports as well as being sort of an arts kid. I grew up in a small enough town that I got to sort of do both. So to me, I wouldn't say I have a specific opinion on just whether there still should be fighting in hockey or the degree of violence that is acceptable in hockey. I certainly didn't make this film to sort of pass judgment on that. That was not. I wasn't going to spend 2 years of my life just on whether whether hockey is too violent or anything like that. What I was much more interested in is this sort of a sense of cultural culpability and the idea, larger issues of systemic violence, whether that is in a sport of hockey or how it extends to other parts of our culture, and the idea that I think that often things, especially more extreme examples, are much more complicated in terms of simply a victim of a crime and a perpetrator of a crime. And I think that that's especially true in something like sport, where, you know, there is there's this element that of entertainment where this is something that we have asked for. This is something that we want. And this is where I the idea of responsibility and accountability to me is a very interesting thing in the context of this, because I really do think it extends beyond just the individuals at the center of it. And it's something that I think requires all of us, especially fans, to kind of look at the role that we play in sort of creating conditions for the outcomes that happen.
Well, I mean, if I give you names like Tiger Williams, Ty Domi, yeah, Todd Bertuzzi,
yeah,
has there been a shift? I mean, these are players who can't shoot a goal. They're there to fight. It's part of the game. Do you think this is changing?
Yeah. Oh, I should correct you on one thing.
Oh, sorry.
Todd can score a lot of goals.
Okay.
Todd could score a lot of goals.
He's my favorite
player of all time.
Oh, okay.
So
sorry about
that. I got to stand up for Todd.
But
Ty Domi,
yeah,
for sure.
He's one who took the brunt of the punishment.
For sure.
The other
for
two
sure
did not.
You know, by no means is this film the Todd Bertuzzi story.
Okay.
But there's certainly, I grew up a Canucks fan, and Todd was my favorite player for sure. And there's a lot of his story that certainly influenced my interest in this. Like I said,
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in the way the film has ended up being made, like, hockey is much more the setting than the subject. You know, like I said, hockey operates, I wanted to make a very Canadian film, so hockey operates as this large institution that is important for this story. If I'd made this same film in the U.S., I think that institution would have been swapped out for, say, the military, you know, something like that. So there's a transfer, like there's a transferability of the, of those elements narratively. But you know, I can't deny that like my sort of affinity for Tom Bertuzzi as a fan and just watching that happen in real time is something that definitely certainly shaped an interest in where this story went and where the narrative went, because you know I remember that incident very well. I remember leading up to it that there was this, you know, bloodthirsty environment in Vancouver to the idea that, you know, retribution needed to happen for Steve Moore's hit on Naslin. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, and it wasn't just like a barroom type of thing, you know, like people chatting over beer.
There's editorials
like in the paper sort of being like, oh, the Canucks get pushed around, we need to, like, you know, there was just like there was a broad conversation leading up to this moment. So the vilification of Todd Bertuzzi after that, I think is a bit, you know, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy to that in terms of people. I think we like the idea of good guys and bad guys, especially in these type of situations, because it makes justice a lot easier to understand. Like if we feel like we've arrived at a just answer for something, that is a very comforting human thing. You know, we feel like we've solved the problem, we've put it away. And I think in the case of Todd Bertuzzi, and certainly in the case of the story in our film and many more like it that exists, that's why I'm saying it's certainly not the Todd Bertuzzi story, but there's a lot of stories in sport and outside of sport. I think that degree of justice is much, much, much more complicated.
And in your film, Tyson, the main character, is the one who's thrown under the bus, if you want to say. I mean, the way you present it, it's not really his fault. He's sort of forced to behave that way by the coach, by the manager. He's like virtually ordered to do that. But as soon as it happens, he takes the blame.
Yeah. And there's even in the film, the hit itself is shot in a way that keeps it ambiguous as to
what happened.
It's like a dirty play or just accidental. It's obviously an aggressive play no matter what. But I mean, in the context of the film, I didn't want an audience to be able... It was irrelevant to me whether the audience could decide if it was a dirty play or an accidental play. In fact, I would say maybe beyond irrelevant, I think if you knew that, it shaped your vision of this character too much one way or the other.
I actually watched the digital copy and I kept rewinding it over and over to watching that, saying, is that his fault or not? Is he the one who did it or not? Was that out of place? I was like,
exactly. Yeah. That's funny that you had that reaction, because that was the intention of the moment. I mean, the game moves at such a fast speed. And again, like even in real life, whether it is an act of violence that happens on the street, most of these things happen very quickly. And how we get to these points happen very quickly. So what I was much more interested in is, like the distancing from a character like this, the sort of nature of how they cultivate him into this pariah as he's ostracized from the town and community. And I think that, like, what I was super interested in, what I was super interested in is the idea that there is a functionality to the cultivation of someone as a pariah or someone as a bad person, because it exonerates the rest of us from a sense of a broader cultural culpability in the way that, I'm not saying that there is not individual moral responsibility and accountability that needs to be talked about. But again, I think that violence across the board, again, whether we're talking about sports or whether we're talking about crime, you know, that sort of thing, it's usually something that has a lot to do with cultural conditions around those events.
Throw in a lot more violent images into your film. After he leaves that, he gets a job working in a slaughterhouse with bloody, gory stuff. Yeah. And after he's being scolded for hurting a guy, he's like cutting apart people. They look almost like people.
Well, I mean, and that's like a very blunt force metaphor in that one, in terms of just, again, a lot of this film is about what we choose to acknowledge and what we choose to recognize and choose to see and what we choose to ignore. And the film itself is, again, this is a very nuanced element of the film, but like the film is about history and personal history and Canadian history as well. And so, you know, I think that there's even this sort of completely present but also invisible element of talking about colonial history in the film, in terms of the team being called the Warriors and having this sort of indigenous iconography as their symbol and the headdress that they use as sort of
the hazing process.
In the hazing thing.
But later on in the movie, the guy who works with him to help with the healing process, he's a First Nations character, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's so much a healing process. He just ends up being the only character who can...
He's the only one there.
Yeah,
who's tearing down a shack.
Yeah, who has some sort of ability to... Or openness to relate, you know? And that was something that, again, was sort of talking about the indigenous character's history in the film, having some sort of parallels to Tyson's history in terms of preconceived notions of who these people were and how they were judged based on a history that was inflicted upon them in a lot of ways, and one that people have sort of excused themselves from having some sense of responsibility for, and sort of placing that all on the individual, which I think is problematic in an everyday sense, but also if you want to talk about Canadian identity is sort of like at the core of, I think, our inability to reconcile like what our identity actually means in this country.
Could you talk about the culture of machismo in Canada, because it's not normally talked about. We're thought of as a gentle, apologizing culture, but there is a strong machismo streak going through male culture.
Sure. I mean, I think that is like a reality of like post-colonial experience across the world. You know, we exist in like systems that are patriarchal systems that, you know, like that have that very deeply embedded in them. And again, this is one of those things that, again, you're talking about like what we see ourselves as being in Canadian, in Canada as Canadians, and what our expectation is of representation. And I think that what I was interested in is what I've lived through myself and been a part of as well myself. I played a ton of sports, and there's like this and again, like a lot of these things extend outside of sports, but there is this performative nature of masculinity. I've said it a few times, but I think like masculinity is actually like one of the most profoundly fragile things, because there's so much more.
He's the most fragile character. Yeah, full of self-doubt exactly. And self-blame.
Yeah, exactly. And like I think a lot of like the most negative parts of masculinity is the overcompensation to cover up that insecurity and sort of to keep up with appearances, so to speak. I guess it's one of the things that I'm deeply, deeply interested in is trying to do a better job of reflecting back a more accurate reality of what this country is than, you know, just like beavers in Tim Hortons, you know? Like I think there's a lot more to explore in this country.
So when most people think of hockey movies in Canada, we think Slapshot, Mighty Ducks, and there's actually one opening today called Goon. Goon 2, the sequel. Now, your movie is maybe the exact opposite of those. Yours is an art house film.
It's probably the antithesis of those films,
So why did you choose to make a art house film festival type movie about such a non-usually festival topic?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting just even the way that question's framed is like you say, like when we talk about Canada and hockey, like Mighty Ducks doesn't take place in Canada.
True.
Slapshot doesn't take place in Canada.
And
Goon does, but it sort of takes place in like a homogenized sort of like watered down version of Canada. It's not like so specific.
But all those have distinctly Canadian characters in them, right?
For sure, for sure. But I think that's sort of part of the problem is like – They're distinctly Canadian in that they are operating on cliches that we've perpetrated for a really long time. And what I was interested in is taking this thing, the hockey film, which does operate as an identifier for us, but operates as an identifier in a way that I think is like overwrought with cliche and is not actually particularly connected to any sort of reality. It's just cliches that have been extended over and recycled over and over again. And so what I was interested in doing is trying to be a bit subversive in taking this thing that we see as having some sort of connected identity to us, but I think in actuality is quite distant from it, and showing a world that I think is actually right in front of us. So it was a way to try and like subvert something that I think is actually a bit misleading in terms of a sense of identity here.
One thing I found really fascinating in your movie as an art house type movie is the look of the film. Mm-hmm. So you have the camera almost as a character following people from behind at a distance through windows removed. So we're sort of almost spying on what's going on from far away. Mm-hmm. It's often quite dark a little bit. Even the sound is sometimes from a distance.
Yeah.
So I immediately thought of like Gaspar Noé, Enter the Void. I thought Leslo, Nemes, Son of Saul. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me where did this images, where do they come from in your mind? Are they entirely new or do you?
No. I think filmmaking has such a strong tradition of sort of gleaning from others and you know, like referencing stuff. I would say more than anything, it's actually more some of the kind of more isolationist Scandinavian cinema is probably a big point of reference. There's a tremendous Norwegian film called Oslo, August 31st.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah.
Which also also a self-downing, almost suicidal character.
Yeah, very like heavy sort of film that deals with addiction. But a similar character in that, like a very reserved character. And I mean, that in our film, we have a central character who is not the traditional type of protagonist in that he doesn't move action forward himself. He's very reactionary. Things just happen to him. He's not sort of like – he doesn't have a lot of agency, and he's not very articulate. And so you have to then employ the visual language to be the element that helps to actually move – the story forward and express a bunch of the ideas that are in there, but that our lead character is not actually able to express. So
thanks so much for talking. It's a beautiful movie and one I think people should see. Kevin Funk's prize-winning first feature, Hello Destroyer, opens today in Toronto at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Go to tiff.net for details. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.